This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
I've heard generic financial advice all my life. Like, don't buy fancy coffee every day. But I like my daily dose of vanilla latte. Luckily, having an account with CEFQ means I know how to manage my money in a way that works for me. And their mobile app makes it easy to keep track of my spending and budget for my coffee treat. Now, I'm doing things my way.
CEFQ, not a bank. Better. Learn more at CEFCU.com. Insured by NCUA.
Over the last week, I've been thinking a lot about this photo of Elon Musk jumping in the air. It's from a Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania earlier this month. The one where Musk joined Trump on stage for the first time. You've probably seen the photo I'm talking about. Trump's kind of glancing over his shoulder at Musk, who is leaping up, hands in the air, shirt up over his tummy, like an enthusiastic kindergartner. I asked Teddy Schleifer, who writes about politics for the New York Times and has covered Musk for years, what he saw in that photo.
Exuberant. You know, this is a guy who has always been into himself. I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but, you know, I think he has always sort of made himself the main character in any of his businesses, successful or failure. And he's candid about that, you know, has a lot of confidence. And his latest project of self is his investment into the presidential campaign.
Teddy's spent a lot of time reporting on Elon Musk's political evolution, from Trump skeptic to Trump fan. When he saw Musk on stage in Butler, he thought, what took so long?
You know, he is somebody who believes until the end of time that, you know, Democrats are going to legalize hundreds of millions or billions or trillions of undocumented immigrants and going to, you know, lead to what he says is the last free election in the United States. So if you think all that, you should probably campaign for the person who you think is going to prevent that from happening.
So Musk is doing that, stumping for Trump and creating and funding a super PAC, America PAC, to help him win. Still, it's only recently that he's gone all in.
At the beginning of this year, his attitude about Trump was, I don't want to say lukewarm, but it was not as manic as it is today, where he, you know, loves Trump and thinks he's so funny and cute and you know, friendly, and I'm being facetious. But clearly, Elon is smitten by Trump and vice versa.
They are two main characters who found each other on the internet and IRL. Today on the show, the Elon election. Teddy is going to explain how and why Musk is putting his millions and his Twitter feed to work for Trump. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around. Have you heard about Doublenomics? It's okay if you haven't. It's extremely niche and practiced by Discover. Here's an example. Discover automatically doubles the cash back earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. It pays to Discover. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states and situations.
As recently as 4 years ago, Teddy says, Musk considered himself a center-left Democrat. He had some libertarian tendencies, like other people in Silicon Valley. But Musk said he voted for Biden in 2020 and Hillary Clinton before that. But things began to shift during the government's response to COVID.
Like several other kind of wealthy people in Silicon Valley, it was a radicalizing experience. You know, it was also an experience that was reflected in Elon's businesses because Elon wanted to keep his factories open during COVID and fought with the California state government over that. Around this time, Elon also moves to Texas. He leaves California and starts surrounding himself with a more conservative social circle. The 2024 election Republican primary is beginning. He says Trump should sail off into the sunset and, you know, starts kind of being a vocal supporter of DeSantis, at least privately. He has a bunch of friends, other people in Silicon Valley who are encouraging this kind of political push from him. And DeSantis loses, obviously. And by the time the Republican primary concludes, Elon knows he does not like Biden. He knows that Trump has problems. But beginning in April, after Elon has this number of dinners with kind of a bunch of old guard billionaires from the establishment wing of Republican politics, Elon realizes that he wants to take things into his own hands, start his own super PAC. And that's sort of the beginning of what brought him to today, where he is now in Pennsylvania.
You know, often with people who are extremely wealthy, they are really voting their economic interest. They're voting because of taxes. They're voting because of the interest of their companies. Where does Elon Musk say his motivations lie? What is it about Trump that really caught fire for him? Is it policy-based, or is it, as you said, like, he just kind of likes the guy?
I think that, you know, he likes the guy in part because the guy likes him, right? I mean, Elon's journey politically is rooted in part on how he was treated by the Biden administration. I would not undersell, I know there was this meeting on electric vehicles that happened during the Biden administration where Tesla was not invited. There was a long time when Biden would not even say the word Tesla. And, you know, the administration's point of view is that they had concerns about how Tesla treated organized labor. But clearly, you know, and you'll hear this from Democrats today, candidly, that they feel like they botched this, you know, that Elon should have been maybe donating hundreds of millions of dollars to Kamala Harris.
First, I want to talk about the money, because this is both personal donation and the PAC. I wonder if you could put some numbers, in as much as they are available, on how much financial support he's given to Trump.
Sure. So Elon Musk, as of this week, has disclosed $75 million in contributions to a super PAC that he started. He gave him a couple million elsewhere as well. And Musk is not the country's biggest donor, but I would say he's probably in the top five. Curiously, he has not maxed out to the Trump campaign itself, which I know is something that has upset some Trump fundraisers, because Elon wants to do this his own way. What he's doing this cycle is pretty ambitious and different than what most mega donors do, which is why it's been a great storyline.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I think about is usually mega donors, like the ones you mentioned, they give money, but they stay in the background. They are not the main character. With America PAC, Elon seems to be doing something different. What is the ground game of this PAC?
So the Musk super PAC has hired thousands of canvassers across the country to effectively help turn out Trump voters. It is not a typical use of campaign billions, but it was made possible by a decision earlier this year from the FEC that allowed campaigns and super PACs to coordinate closely on field organizing. So essentially what happens now is there is a super PAC effort, which is being run by Elon Musk, and there is a campaign effort that is being run by Mar-a-Lago, and there can be coordination about who hits which doors, yada, yada, yada.
So there's full data transparency between the two.
Yeah, there's data sharing agreements that are signed in between the hard side and the soft side, as it's called. And because the campaign has been pretty disinvested from the ground game themselves, they are somewhat reliant on these outside groups. You know, 2,500 canvassers is a lot. And the super PAC is out there trying to get blame or credit, I suppose, depending on how things go.
You know, turning out voters is hard. It relies on having
really good data, you know, who this person is, what their past voting history is, how likely they are to vote, hitting them with the exact message that they need to hear. As you know, there are firms that spend years building a voter file. Is there any way to know, or have you seen in your reporting, how good the America PAC folks are at this?
It's hard to know, right? Because we're not going to have a sense of how the campaign field operation works until we sort of see it up close. I can tell you there's been a lot of ups and downs along the way, which is not abnormal, obviously, in the history of political campaigns. But, you know, Elon is also a tough boss. And it's clear that at times he can be hard to work with and have different opinions about whether or not his protégés or employees are carrying out his orders. You know, the Super PAC has had a bunch of different people that were laid off and then rehired, and it's been kind of a mess at times. You know, the new regime that is currently leading the Musk Super PAC thinks that these were all kind of changes that make the group run better. But we'll see what happens on Election Day.
They are doing this kind of referral payment. So if a volunteer gets voters to sign a petition, it's a petition in support of, I'm quoting, the Constitution, especially freedom of speech and the right to bear arms, that they get a $47 payment. This is like kind of fascinating and also very transactional. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so I've never seen anything like this before. What the group is essentially doing is offering a bunch of money to folks who get people to sign a petition, which essentially serves as a way to track voters who are likely to be Trump people. It's $47 a head, which sounds like a lot, though if you look at the kind of the history of expenditures, you know, oftentimes campaigns can spend multiple amounts of that to kind of turn out a voter, you know, whether it's we spent $500 million on this campaign and we got, you know, I forget how many votes Mike Bloomberg got in the Democratic primary, but $47 can look pretty good. It is not illegal. It is, you know, no one's being paid for their vote. No one's even being paid to register. They're just being paid to refer someone who signs a petition. And this is sort of, you know, this is the charitable way to put it. You know, Elon is thinking about politics in a creative way. It's different. It's innovative. And we'll see how many people sign up. I can tell you there's a lot of like hoopla around getting the $47, and it certainly got a lot of earned media attention. So points right there for that.
On Tuesday night, Musk went a little bit further, maybe even to the point of breaking election law. He offered voters who have signed the petition and voted in Pennsylvania a chance to come see him speak for free. But it's unclear if that will have any legal repercussions. When we come back, with 3 weeks to go till Election Day, Elon's definitely posting through it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
With Ring cameras and doorbells, it's easy to keep every fright in sight. See who's there. Keep your scaredy cats company.
Oh, it's okay, sweetie. I'll be home soon.
And protect your crypt from the real monsters.
Oh, come on. The sign says take one.
Find dead simple ways to stay connected right now at ring.com.
Imagine what's possible when learning doesn't get in the way of life. At Capella University, our game-changing FlexPath learning format lets you set your own deadlines so you can learn at a time and pace that works for you. It's an education you can tailor to your schedule. That means you don't have to put your life on hold to pursue your professional goals. Instead, enjoy learning your way and earn your degree without missing a beat. A different future is closer than you think with Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.
So let's talk about the other side, Twitter, or X, properly, this feels extremely important, but also less quantifiable in terms of Musk helping Trump. What do you think the effect is of, you know, the posts like, why does the left want murderers in our country, which was one that Elon boosted, or if real Donald Trump doesn't win, the Democratic Party will legalize so many illegals that there will be no swing states. What's the effect of those?
Well, look, I mean, he has 200 million followers, and there's a lot of people, you know, especially young men who absolutely worship the guy. That's a huge audience. You know, he's a cult-like following, and those are people that the Harris campaign would love to have supporting them, yeah. And they don't. So, you know, obviously, as anyone who listens to this who has a Twitter feed can tell you, I mean, the centrality of Elon on the algorithm is overwhelming. You know, sometimes it can feel like he's the only person whose tweets you're seeing, and he's using that kind of megaphone to push his political agenda, which, of course, was the precise thing he said he was not going to do when he bought Twitter in 2022.
The question I have about this, obviously, he has 200 million followers, but I feel like a lot of the people he might be reaching on X right now were probably already going to vote for Trump or already leaning that way. I wonder if you think these tweets convert people, or is it maybe that they just muddy the water enough to keep some undecided voter home?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'd agree, because I do think there are lots of people who, like Musk, were not Trump fans early on, and he's taking those people and showing them his version of Trump that is pretty good. I mean, you know, he really leans a lot into like masculinity, I think is interesting in the way that Elon positions Trump, you know, as like a fighter. And, you know, there's an element of kind of the guy's guy that Elon cultivates that image. And he sort of has presented that image of Trump to his supporters. You know, I think occasionally Elon will say things like, I don't agree with everything Trump says or does, but I think he's been a bridge for some people to the Trump fold. And certainly that's what Trump wants him to be, you know, someone who can take people who are sort of members of, you know, the new right, as they say, or, you know, anti-left, and kind of bring them into the Trump fold. And, you know, it's interesting how much Trump really tries to cultivate or leverage kind of the perceived coolness of Elon to his audience. Like, I went to a Trump rally the other day in Pennsylvania, and it's like fascinating how much Trump talks about Elon. You know, it's like 3, 4, 5 different like tangents, you know, over an hour apart. He's going on almost like mesmerized by like, wow, this cool guy who's rich is hanging out with me, you know? So it's a bromance in both directions.
In one of your stories, you had a piece of reporting where Musk told someone, I love Trump. And it makes me wonder, what's in the election for him, right? If Trump wins, what does Elon Musk get?
I think at the minimum, Elon Musk gets access that he's never had before. You know, the world's richest person will have a line into the White House. And, you know, if there's a meeting on electric vehicles, Elon will be there this time. obviously, what Elon also is going to get is what Trump has promised him, which is that he'll be the head of this kind of government efficiency coalition. So we'll see what that turns into. You know, Elon also has a ton of interests before the government that he doesn't really talk about much at all. You know, he's a lot of business interests in China. SpaceX is a huge government contractor. Tesla gets lots of subsidies from the federal government and has for a long time. Clearly, Elon will have the ability to get problems solved better than, you know, the billionaire next door.
When you think about, I don't know, looking back on this, right, whatever happens in this election, you've been covering Elon Musk for a long time. How do you separate out the influence of his money versus the influence of his personality and his personal brand? Like, where do we come down on the influence of Elon in this election?
It's so hard to know. How do you disassemble the money from the brand, from the company he owns? It's like, you know, these are all planets revolving around the same sun here. You know, what is Elon? What is Trump? It's all just one vibe or through line of money and power and influence. So clearly this is a pretty unprecedented relationship between a presidential candidate and a rich guy.
Teddy Schleifer, thank you so much for coming on today.
You bet.
Teddy Schleifer covers politics for The New York Times. And that is it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Patrick Fort and Shayna Roth. Our show is edited by Evan Campbell. Alicia Montgomery is Vice President of Audio for Slate, and TBD is part of the larger What Next family. And if you like what you heard, the single best way to support us is to join Slate Plus. You get all your Slate podcasts ad-free, as well as exclusive bonus content like What Next's The Surge, which unpacks the craziest political news every week leading up to Election Day. All right, we'll be back on Sunday with another episode. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Thanks for listening.
Save on family favorites at Safeway. This week at Safeway, get 18-count Lucerne cage-free eggs, large, grade AA, for only $3.47 each with digital coupon limit one. Plus, get mega packs of bone-in USDA choice beef New York strip steak for $7.97 per pound with digital coupon. Limit two packages. Also this week at Safeway, 23 to 29.5-ounce boxes of Kellogg's Giant Size cereal or buy two, get three free when you buy five. Member price. Visit Safeway.com or head in-store for more details.
These days, everything in San Francisco costs more. But a single line at Verizon doesn't. Get one line for as low as $50 per month when you switch and bring your phone. So, while coffee is definitely costing more, here at Verizon, you can save. And dinner for two has gotten pricey. Verizon, less pricey. Downtown rent, that's not coming down. But Verizon, down. One line for just $50 a month. That designer golden doodle, so much more. But Verizon, a fair bit less. Even a good old tried and true hamburger will cost you more. But with Verizon, the same tried and true service is now just $50 per month for a single line on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Point is, in a world that is always costing more, you can get more for less right now at a San Francisco Verizon store. $15 promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G, 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.